Blog Talk Radio.
Seven in the house, live coming to you from the room. I am your advocate and your advisor, the one you need, and your emperor here to serve you. Once again, thank you for joining us for National Poetry Month, and I hope you realize that it's also Teacher Appreciation Month and Library National Month as well. So as you come in, make sure you remember to greet a teacher and say what is necessary. Thank you for serving your community. Thank you for being a part of the institution of education. I want to thank all those Twitterers out there who've been following me, and I want to say continue to follow on me. I will try my best to come into the room and leave comments and leave little love notes. I am so inundated with business, and I do take the time to speak to you occasionally, but it's so hard for all me to follow anyone. Trust me, I need an assistant just to follow my own self. But it's a class act, I know, to follow after all me, because I'm all over the place, and I'm doing things in the community for children. As a matter of fact, I'll be out at Borders at the end of this month, and periodically after that, once a month, so we can cut down this time limit. So as I'm out in the community, know that I'm representing you and fighting hard to close the gap of illiteracy. As you know, I am connected to an organization called Project 2019. We are closing the gap of disparity of illiteracy because we feel that African Americans have to do it for themselves. And if we don't educate ourselves and close the gap, then we won't be able to move up the ladder of financial, economic. We will be stuck. And as you know, as we go through this economic strife, we are having a problem with illiteracy. And that is the point I wanted to point out to you. I wanted to stress that I'm focusing in on that. Even though we do many other things in the area of Project 2019, as a matter of fact, I'm just one of several chapters who are out there. I cover the northern Indiana area. That's Gary, Miraville, and Portage. We are going to be seeing more often in the community doing many more things with literacy and the family. However, we work with mind, body, soul, and spirit. And know that as we begin to close the gap, you will see more of us in the community, perhaps in other states where there are located chapters. And I will be doing a special series on what we're doing in the area under Project 2019. On my billboard, they have Project 2010. It should be corrected 2019. And that stands for the year of us being out of slavery for over 400 years. That will mark that period. So at that point, we will make assessments of how many African Americans have gone on and got their credentials and some area of higher learning. So help me out, teachers. Help to teach someone to read so we can close that gap. And also tutor. I tutor as well. I have been tutoring for Sylvan Learning, giving my time to work with these youngsters to help them to learn to do mathematics and reading. And I'd like to urge you to be a part of that as well. Now, I did that long, long segment so that you could understand who we are. So when we do our whole segment, you will have a more in-depth idea of what we do as a non-for-profit organization. This particular program is done free of charge. And because we are a non-for-profit organization, we are going to be doing a whole lot more in the community. Now, I want to tell you what our segment is tonight. And we're running a little late, so bear with me as I try to speed things up. First of all, I want to stop and say that happy Easter to everyone. We passed over the Passover where we put the protective covering on our door so that our homes were passed over. This is when the Egyptians supposedly were taken out of Egypt. And as you know, we are those people. And as a matter of fact, our house was passed over. I hope yours was too. And we are on to new beginnings. According to Deuteronomy 16 and also Exodus 23, which has been in my spirit ever since I heard the message on Sunday, and over at the Family Christian Center, that is where they began to talk about how we are to give that scripture out and the good news of what's happening for us as Christians and faith believers who believe that now we are on to new beginnings. And this start marks the beginning of a new segment of Passover. If you went through last night unmolested, unharmed, you are fortunate. You should be grateful. You should be prostrating yourself before God right now, saying, God, thank you for bringing me into new beginnings. Yes, a lot of us have come through financial strife. A lot of us have lost employment. We've lost homes. We've lost children. We've lost finances. But praise be to God for new beginnings, because that means that we can call on those ancestors to help us close the gap and start all over again. We're going to declare this the year of Jubilee, because as Passover has already left, we are on to Jubilee, to new beginnings. And I'm claiming it for my household. You are to claim it for your household, because new beginnings are very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't understand how important they are, you will never, never know what is going on for the world. Now, I want to tell you this much. I want to tell you that the new beginnings I'm talking about is getting out there in the thick of it and raising up a standard, because we're going to need a standard lift up. Now, today we're going to talk about a young lady who lifted up a standard. She could not read or write, but she learned to use her voice to lift up a standard. Now, ain't she a woman? Sojourner Truth was a woman to be. If any of you are able to use your voice as orators, I want you to lift your voices up now and stand proudly with me with your fist balled in the sky, saying, for God's sake, we've got to give more power to the people. Come on, say it with me. For God's sake, you've got to give more power to the people. I'm declaring that during this time of Passover, with Sojourner Truth leading the way, we are going to decree that more power is given to the people. And we're going to stand with our fist ball high as long as we have to decree that unions will be back in place. Jobs will not be taken overseas. Children will have better education. And our mans will have a job, and every kitchen will have a pot in it. And every woman will be able to stay home and raise her children and be a parent. For God's sake, we've got to give more power to the people. When you give power to the people, as Sojourner would say, you allow the women to go home and take care of their children and their household, and then we will see our nation rise up to be what it should be. For God's sake, we got to give more power to the people. I didn't mean to get on that today, but Search and a Truth is in my spirit today. And when I read her poem, Ain't I a Woman, I began to look at all those single women out there who are feeling the same thing. Ain't I a woman? Ain't I a woman? They're saying in their spirit. Search and a Truth led the way for us to be able to believe this. It is not some concept. It is not some fallacy. But Search and a Truth, in all her abilities and elegance, she used what she had to lead the way, to open the door for our society. Search and a Truth began to speak the words out of her mouth and use her mouth as a mouthpiece. Women, if you're mealy-mouthed and have no words to say, and you have to function as an Aaron, like in the time when Moses needed an Aaron, I'm telling you to fix your mouth to be able to speak and to cry loud and to spare not and lift up your voice like a trumpet and show the house of Jacob their transgression. Now is the time. Now is the time for Sojourner Truth, because it's very important that we understand that Sojourner Truth had all the odds against her, yet even though the odds against her, she was able to speak out against injustice. She cried loud for freedom. She called out what was wrong. And as I told you earlier, Sojourner Truth was up against a terrible situation. I mean, a group of mad, angry men were going to take her down. But with her voice, she struck a blow for freedom and for the society. She struck out and made a move with stating to them that she is in the process of taking things differently and making her life differently. She showed people how she could do it. Now, I want all of you searching the truth out there to stand up and take a blow against the society that will seek to destroy families. Family life is what we are working towards, and family life is what we are trying to develop. Now, it is important that you understand that this show is first going to focus in on family life, and whatever's good for the family, we're going to speak on it. So for you women out there today, come on into the Care to Read room and sit down and listen to what Sojourner Truth believes is the truth. Stay tuned, listening audience, for station identification. We'll be right back at you in the air as I compose myself and get ready for the talking cure. I hope you come in and join us. Thank you very much. Listening audience, you can also tell the children this is a special segment for Mom. And we're calling Mom in to be a part of this. And fathers, if you want to come in, come on in as well. But stay tuned and listen up for station identification as we take a break right now. Welcome back, family. You're in the atmosphere, and you're in the Care to Read room, if you care to read. We're going to go on with our talking cure, so stand to your feet. This is the aftermath of our Passover and Easter. I am a traditionalist, family, and I do believe in calling in all of the traditions. Stay tuned.
Hello? Yeah, he gone. Yeah. He just left. Make sure you're out there. Because he don't have the phone. I have the phone. Make sure you're out there. Goodbye.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and stand to your feet. We are now in the process of doing our talking cure. Ladies and gentlemen, as we stand to our feet for the talking cure, this is a special occasion of the Passover. I believe traditions are very important for African-American families because as we incorporate the feast of unleavened bread, we understand what it means to be poor, when we learn to abate and abide, when we learn how to prosper in the good times and in the bad times. God said, we will let it rain on the just and the unjust. So let us prepare ourselves for the times up ahead that are to come. Let us know that God is with us, and if God is with us, can be against us. Ladies and gentlemen, I light the candle of my mother's spirit today, and I say our sin. I light the candle of my father's spirit, and I say our sin. As you light your candle today, I have taught you to light your candle. So why don't you take your candles off today and light them, ladies and gentlemen? It is really important that you understand that as I teach you these rituals, I want you to be a part of these rituals. And as I pour the water in the glass of my father's spirit, and I say, pour the water for my mother's spirit, and I say. Lord, as we stand before you today, we call on the ancestors and before life makes us to the east. And we pour libations to the west. We pour libations to the north, and we say our say. And to the west, our say. Ladies and gentlemen, you stand. I want to thank you for being a part of this talking cure. And if you have a prayer that you would like to give for your family, recite the prayer now, vividly. Recite the prayer and call the ancestors. Call Oluduamare. Call on Oromola and Ori. These are the African ancestors. Call them as again. As the new year begins for you, I want you to understand we are about new beginnings in this room. As we start the process of new beginnings, I want to call all of those progenitors here in the room today. We want to talk about the conditions for women. Back in the 19th century, how was it? What happened to our sojourner troops and our Lady Jaguar thrones? And also, what happened to Harriet Tubmans that were out there? What did they have to go through in order to make things better for us? I read you a story about Queen Nzinga, the king and queen. Even back in the ancient days when she was residing over her throne, there was trouble arising on all sides. But in the 19th century, trouble abased itself around the slave camps all the time. The black woman's place was in the kitchen or producing and appropriating. At that particular time, there were very few Sojourner Truth or Harriet Tubman who were to be spoken of. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, those women pressed on for the occasion to make their way through She, as Harriet Tubman, carried a pistol. She carried that pistol for African Americans to keep them in order. Because if they were going to be a part of the movement, of the underground slave movement, then she would have to pull her pistol. Even on her own relatives, she said, if you are going to travel with me, she said, if you don't go, a dead Negro tell no lies. She left no one behind. She used that pistol if she had to. That's how courageous she was and determined she was to get through the underground movement without one deterring her. I don't know about you women, but during that time, I know it must have been hard for Harriet. I know it must have been a burden for her to carry on the responsibility of moving slaves underground. Now, as Sojourner Truth fought off the men, and with her words, of course, she was a lady, she fought off the men with her words, and as she spoke so elegant to them, they began to listen and were intrigued by her voice, and they promised that they wouldn't harm her after she spoke. Wouldn't you like to have elegant words that you can persuade men who have decided amongst themselves to conquer you and destroy you? Wouldn't you like to have the orator to be so swift and elegant and cunning to speak truth to people, well, even when you're speaking in your kind voice? Now, ladies, I want to say something to you. It wasn't very easy back there in those times, and things have gotten easier for us in the 21st century. As an African-American woman, I am here to say that we have silently been in a war without knowing it. However, we think we have made it to the glass ceiling, and we proceed to go on as if everything has been laid out for us, but there's still some of us that still have to struggle yet. And for those women who don't have the gift and orator of tongue, I say support the weak. What do you mean, Omi? I say support the weak. Speak out on their behalf. Be an advocate. Because there will be one or two that cannot articulate and express themselves. I also say support the weak. Don't go catering to those who can afford to purchase things and have things. But better yet, give your time to those who don't have finance for those better things in life. One of the things you can do as a Sojourner Truth, you can lift up your voice. Whenever you see injustice in your community, you can speak out against it. And as a Harriet Tubman, you can lead people to the library, to the avenues of going to school and returning to school to get credentials. There's a lot that we can do. And we as women are going to have to understand that until our men are healed, until they come out of incarceration, we are going to have to be like a queen in Zinga and wear the throne of the king and queen. And we are also going to have to do what is necessary to make ourselves invisible. No, we don't want to appear to be boastful and visible. We want to become invisible. So that as we begin to do our work, no one will know from whence we came and where we're going. We will be like a vapor in the air. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is trouble in the atmosphere. I don't even have to tell you. There's trouble with our federal government. There is trouble with our economic status. There is trouble with our state officials. There is trouble in our schools. There is trouble, trouble, trouble. I don't even have to tell you. So when time comes, when trouble will not leave the air, long as trouble rise, you have to hasten to the throne. Sisters, let's go to the throne. I'm calling for the moaning woman right now. Let's go to the throne. When there's trouble arising all around you, go to the throne and prostrate yourself and fall on your knees and cry out to God on behalf and interceding on behalf of our men. As we cry out today, Father, we cry out for those men that are not home with their families, We cry out for those institutions that are producing inadequate training for our children. Father God, we ask that you will begin to bring about a jubilee, a new beginning for the families in the household today, as those Harriet Tubmans and those Sojourner Truths and then those Queen and Zingas cry out today. We're not looking back at the 19th century today. We're looking at the 21st century, knowing that we have incurred the highest income there ever was. We were on all the television stations and sitcoms, and we have our shows, and now we're in everybody's bedroom, and we are the best fitted for all the occasion, no matter what color we are and what shade we are. So why don't we do something with what we got? Why don't we take those opportunities to open up non-for-profit organizations in our African-American communities? Why don't we take that leadership to take a stand and stop standing up dancing all day long on the stage as if you are somebody's coon? Stop it, I say. When you get these opportunities to go before the media, go before them with a platform and speak on subjects that are near and dear to you. How can we have an immigration problem when we still have people that are incarcerated and can't get back to their homeland? Why is this happening? Speak on topics like that. Begin to do like Dr. Martin Luther King did. Continue to lift up a standard. And I don't mean talking about holding little sisters' hands and little men and girls' hands. I mean cutting the line. If we have to go back to creating our own businesses, our own institutions, then speak on that. Because right now, as I stand here and speak, the majority of our businesses are going overseas, and there are very few African Americans that own anything. We can do it again, I say. I'm calling for the moaning women today. Moaning women, come forward. Moaning women, this is the last and final call. I'm calling for you to come forward, to cry loud and lift up your voice like a trumpet. It is trouble in the world, and we're starting new beginnings now. We want to leave the troubling times behind. As we go forward, we are standing strong for a new family institute and reordering the marriage vows of the institute. How is it that one can get to 30 and 40 years and still find trouble where you cannot make amends in a relationship? I say there's trouble. And there's trouble in the hearts of our men. There's trouble in their hearts, Father, and I ask that you will begin to work a miracle in their minds and in their hearts and let them have a love for their families and their wives. Now, we have got to get it together. We have got to get it together because this time around, after this time around, we either are going to rule or be the permanent underclass. Which will it be? Will we choose to be the permanent underclass? Will we will always be poor and be excess? Or will we stand strong in the end time and take our appropriate places? Where are the appropriate places, you ask? The appropriate places is that we are the head and not the tail. We are to succeed and not to fail. We are the cornerstone which the foundation was built from. You cannot sub anything. Say it with me, ladies. You cannot sub anything. You get over the grain house. And once you get over the grain house, you are officially Empress. My name didn't come to me by accident. Someone saw the empressy in me and addressed me as Empress. I want to thank that brother because he saw something in me that I didn't even know was in me. And he continued to tell me who I was. Do you know who you are today? Do you know who you are today, women? Find out who you are. Your men will define you. Don't turn your back on your men and say you can do it for yourself. Don't say in the 21st century, I've got it all and I don't need nobody to do nothing for me. Don't you dare say that because you labor with your brother and you struggle with him and you will also prosper with him. Find out who you are. I know Omi knows who she is. You have been quietly trying to seek who I am and where I came from. Predestined is who I am. I was predestined from the womb. Before Oromola shaped me and molded me, he stood there right with God before he breathed the breath of life in me and put his essence in me. I have a mission. I have a mission and a calling just as you do. The question is, are you on your mark? Don't miss your mark today. I want you to understand that these 21st century women have got to do better than those 1900th century women. I don't need to tell you what happened to some of those women back there, Caucasian women. You know the struggle. In the women's suffrage movement, you struggled with us as we helped you to get to victory. We know what happened to women. In some cultures, the excess women were left along the side of the road to be raised by the wolves or to be eaten, whichever one came first. Women had a hard way to go. Even you Caucasian women had a hard way to go, just like us black women did, and we still are fighting in a war that nobody knows anything about. Well, I didn't come here to put on no gear, to align myself with soldiers in fear. I'm not just rapping, for I'm real sincere. This time was preserved for those who could persevere. You got a real soldier. I thought I had told you that you got a real soldier and that no weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So lay down your arms, you imposters. I took a job overseas on tour to only discover that my family and I now would be under siege. I'm behind enemy lines. I'm fighting a war that's not even mine. I aim to stand my ground like the Board of Education versus Brown. You got a real soldier. I thought I had told you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the popular poems that was written on behalf of the many women that I represented overseas, women who were in the struggle, who were soldiers as well as civilians. They cried out to me, and it was foretold that I would be going abroad to assist them by an elder. He foresaw what was going to happen before I ever got on the plane. When I got there, their voices cried out, and I knew exactly what my mission was. The poem was written to soothe their hurting bodies and minds because they struggled and struggled through the JAG system to get their voices heard. My poem cried out in the courtyard